From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
It was the 1st of January 1959. The island was Cuba, and a young man by the name of Fidel Castro had brought about a revolution.
What kind of government would you establish? Would you be president?
We will establish a real, representative, and democratic government. I don't think in being president. I am not fighting for that, nor for any other charge. I cannot answer you about myself because I don't think about that.
I'm Emma Joseph, and welcome to this special edition of BBC Caribbean Report, marking the 40th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution. Throughout the 1940s and 50s, the Caribbean island of Cuba had been the playground of Americans. Beaches, booze, and casinos, Havana had it all. From sugar to hotels to petrol, Cuban land and industry was owned almost entirely by Big Brother to the North. Walter Cronkite was a TV reporter in those days.
We consider part of the United States, practically, just a wonderful little country over there that was of no danger to anybody. As a matter of fact, was a rather important economic asset to the United States.
At that time, Cuba's leader was a brutal dictator, Fulgencio Batista. His people were turning against him. After years of guerrilla fighting in the mountains, a young, charismatic 33-year-old lawyer, Fidel Castro, entered Havana on the 8th of January 1959.
The triumph of the revolution was an example of order. There was no looting. No one was dragged along the streets. There were no murders, no crimes. There was perfect order.
It was in this perfect order that over 500 members of the former regime were accused of crimes against the people. They were tried and executed. Fearing similar treatment and the rise of a new dictator, thousands fled to exile in the United States. But to most people, Castro was a hero.
The revolution promised to provide jobs for the people. It promised honesty in the administration, which had never existed in Cuba. There were health programs which had never existed before. Education programs which had never existed before.
Most revolutionary of all, Fidel Castro nationalized thousands of acres of land held by American people and gave it to the people of Cuba. Eager to tell the world of his revolution, Castro flew to New York to speak at the United Nations. American President Eisenhower was too busy to see him, but Nikita Khrushchev, the Soviet leader, was delighted to embrace a new revolutionary. And so began Cuba's relationship with the Russian superpower. Anatoly Dobrynin was the U.S. ambassador at the time.
Cuba decided to comprar petróleo soviético.
Cuba decided to buy oil from the Soviet Union, which would be cheaper. The country could also get credit from the Soviet Union, who were willing to help us. But the American companies refused to refine the oil.
In response, Castro sent in his militia and took over the refineries. America was swift to react.
At his White House press conference, President Eisenhower announces that Cuba's assigned share of the United States sugar market has been cut by 95% in reply to what I call Fidel Castro's deliberate policy of hostility.
as tension between Cuba and the U.S. mounted, Castro nationalized a further $1 billion worth of American investments. And irate President Eisenhower declared a complete trade embargo, one that is still in effect today. The more that America retaliated against Cuba, the more apparent it became that Castro's policies were going to be socialist, a clear departure from the philosophy he had on the 1st of January 1959.
What is your political philosophy? Are you a communist or a Marxist?
There is not communism or Marxism in our idea. Our political philosophy is representative democracy and social justice in a well-planned economy.
The next 3 years were to become the most dramatic in recent world history. In December 1961, Castro declared Cuba a communist state with a Marxist-Leninist agenda. The